Welcome back to TRP.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. And now for something slightly different. This is the horrifying tale of the attack and desecration of Wexford churches by that little devil, the Borough Weevil.
County Wexford was alive and kicking and full of energy in late March, heading into April of 2007. The historian and newspaper columnist Nicky Furlong was exploring villages and meeting and interviewing village people in Middle County Wexford for his weekly newspaper column titled Furlong at Large. He liked writing about churches and their history. He drove his car to Bree Church in the middle of County Wexford at midday that March. He liked Bree Village and its people, with its thriving Burns supermarket, its state-of-the-art community centre and its splendid sports arena. He had written about the village in his columns before. The Bree Hunt was significant. Bree was the founding place of the Irish Countrywomen's Association, and the hall beside it housed the most prominent branch in Ireland of Machrane Ferrime, founders of the Irish Farmers' Journal, the Irish Farmers' Association, and many more rural development entities. There too lived his friends Jonathan Moriarty, the schoolmaster, and the former president of the GAA, Micheál MacGuckig, a teacher in Glynn, who was captain of na Fianna in Enniscorthy during the Rising in 1916. He was standing in the Church of the Assumption in Bree, in wonder and awe, as he said himself, about the altar in the church. Who designed it? Who built it? How it was built? Who paid for it? And from what material and when and who inspired the likenesses of the saints in the stained glass church windows? Those they commemorated and those who funded the windows as benefactors of the church. Was it a Puget church, he asked himself. In the quietness of the church at midday, he heard a faint, harsh, rasping, repetitive, clicking sound with a whirring cadence, rising and falling inflections, he thought, in the rafters. As an accomplished organist, he was sensitive to sounds, and church sounds in particular. He thought that unusual, if not peculiar. Some kind of wasp, perhaps. Was it his imagination? Was it a spiritual intervention? Or was it just the wind? He listened, but he could not hear it clearly. Dismissing it, he then went to nearby Gal Valley Church of St. John the Baptist. He had known the Dempsey, the Jackman, and the Walsh families from the area. Yes, herein he heard the sound again. From his conversation with priests and local people he met randomly, nobody but Nicky himself had heard it before. However, few people would be in a church at midday in the middle of the week. At this stage, he thought he was onto something, and he decided to head for a church not far from Gal Valley. He ventured to the lovely oratory Bellevue Church in Ballyhogue, but no sound there apart, as he said himself, the sound of John Crane's cows and the burbling sound of the Slaney flowing by. He visited a few more villages around the county for his popular newspaper column and listened for the peculiar clicking sound again, but it did not happen every time. To his surprise, he heard it in the churches in Gorey, Templeudigan and Buntlody, but not in Ballycullan, Campile or Powell Fir. He thought he heard it in the churches in Feathered and Trinity. He heard it for definite in the Augustus Puget Church in Tagoat. His previous experience as a beat inspector for the Irish Sugar Company, his education as an economist and sociologist, his innate suspicions honed from dealing with farmers, and then his experience as a full-time author and journalist came out in him. He thought it amazing that he heard the sound only in churches on high ground. He wondered if it was only Pugin churches, those churches built by Augustus Welby Pugin. So he consulted the experts. The journalist and author Hilary Murphy examined his files but found no record of significance of such phenomena. He then consulted Patrick Comerford, former journalist with the Irish Times and the Wexford People, and now a clergyman in Christchurch in Dublin. Patrick is an acknowledged expert on Augustus Welby Pugin. Patrick had visited the twin churches in Wexford Town and Bree and Tagoat, well-known Pugin churches. Nicky thought he saw a trend. Perhaps it was Pugin churches only. Yes, the sound was in Bree and in the Pugin church in Tagoat Rosslare. Exasperated and dumbfounded, Nicky's last resort was to consult with his old friend, the scientist Willie Murphy of Johnstown Castle. Willie was then a specialist in fertilisers and grassland. Not a blade of grass in Ireland could be grown without his say-so. He was the go-to expert by RTE on matters of fertiliser and grasses. He was a hero amongst farmers. They hung on his every utterance. Willie in turn spoke with his fellow scientists involved and sent teams to examine a sample of churches. They even tested the atmosphere. They had now got individual parish priests involved and with their permission entered the rafters of churches across County Wexford and carefully scraped away samples of wood, logging them, dating them, putting them carefully into blue sealed bags to examine them microscopically when they would get back to their laboratories in Johnstown Castle and consult with fellow scientists around the world about their findings. Willie Murphy was of the opinion that if he could find the seeds of rare grasses and plants in islands out in the Azores in the mid-Atlantic, where he spent several years, he could solve this mystery. One bright March day, after several weeks of work, Willie found an unusually tiny beetle, almost invisible to the naked eye, among all samples in test tubes and on slides in the laboratory. He knew his beetles, but he had never, ever seen one like this before. It looked American. It had a red band on its body. Examined up close under a powerful microscope, it had mandibles like pincers and a proboscis that was as sharp. It was like saw blades. He and Noel Culleton pored over it and found that it was unusual. It wasn't like Irish beetles at all. One thing they did know was that wood-eating beetles were found mainly in damp, moist areas in particular, where softwoods grew or where old furniture was dumped. They developed a strategy to do a random sample of bogs, forests and swamps and roadsides where furniture was dumped to find samples of beetles there. Dumped furniture in damp areas is a well-known gathering ground for some species of beetles. The scientists from Johnstown Castle already knew that wood-eating beetles have mandibles or proboscis that bore holes in wood of between 1 centimetre and 3 centimetre. Wood-boring weevils are found in plywood, hardwoods and softwoods in areas of current or past fungal activity, they knew. Fearing this phenomenon to be a pandemic, they secretly sent field technicians to examine bogs, swamps and forests in Barmoney, Adamstown, Camross and other parts of the county. Just outside Enniscorthy is the Boro River, a beautiful river that attracts thousands of people to walk along its forest-laden banks. To their great surprise, they found a cluster near the Boro Bridge, where the road turns to Bree Village. They wondered how and why this bunch of rare wood-eating beetles had reached the hinterland of the sacred and historic town of Enniscorthy. Then, one of the scientists recalled an unusual weather change in the recent months. The Gulf Stream had shifted towards Ireland and deposited the seeds of rare plants from Newfoundland in Canada across County Kerry over some time. They consulted a Wexford scientist then in Met Éireann in Glasnevin. He checked with his counterparts in Europe and in the United States, and they confirmed their suspicions. The beetle was a Canadian cousin, possibly of the Kerguelenidae or snout weevil family, and somehow it had been carried on the Gulf Stream and blown on the wind across County Wexford. Thousands of flocks of the weevil had lodged in the rafters of churches on high ground or those churches exposed to the sea, and they were happily feeding off the woods in the rafters of the churches. Because it was identified first at the Boro River, they named it the Boro Weevil. It was now obvious that some Boro weevils born on the wind and the Gulf Stream from Canada had hit the roofs of churches and stayed there, while others found refuge in houses whose owners dumped pieces of old furniture beside the beautiful Boro River. Those weevils thrive in warm, moist conditions, but they die in intense heat. The Bishop and Wexford County Council immediately actioned an emergency plan. Within days, they had gathered barrels of DDT powder and spread it in the rafters in every church on high ground in the county. Within a fortnight, all the Boro weevils in the County Wexford were gone. The intense heat of the summer of 2007 killed any Boro weevils that were in homes across the county. What Nicky Furlong reported from the many churches was not a figment of his imagination at all, but his creativity in collaboration with some of his agents in the Coolballow Drina area of Wexford town. Believe it or believe it not, that is the story behind the story of the attack by the Boro weevils on churches in County Wexford on April the 1st, 2007. A footnote. We asked the eminent Wexford historian Antáthair Séamus na Bhall of Buntlody if he had ever heard of the Boro weevil and how it affected the roofs of churches on high grounds. His only response was to laugh and laugh and laugh.
That wonderful piece was compiled and written by Michael J. Freeman. I'm sorry to say it begs the question, is anything sacred anymore? Keep on listening to TRP.